Okay, this is Inyan Lamed Aleph from the Pachad Yitzchak. And again, just try to picture, again, picture Rav Huttner and his Talmidim really for bringing on these pieces. Again, they're deep, they're mamish deep. Rav Huttner is, every time you learn a piece in Pachad Yitzchak, it's such a sharp insight. Even though it's sometimes enmeshed in something which is so obvious, but it's so crisp. Okay, so let's read. Inyan Lamed Aleph. Mitzvahs Avas Reim. The mitzvah of loving our fellow Jews. Right? The mitzvah of Avas Reim shayeches lesug ha-mitzvos shel chovas halavavos. It's shayech to that category of mitzvos that we call what? The duties of the heart or of the mind. It's an attitude, it's an outlook, it's a feeling. I'm supposed to feel towards my fellow Jew a sense of ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Now, of course, that sometimes and should manifest in actions, but essentially, at the core of it, ahava is a feeling, ahava is an emotion. So, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that all-encompassing, very fundamental Jewish value, is found within the category, in the sug. It's contained within that category of mitzvot that we would call the duties of the heart or the duties of the mind. Elisha dafka hayom, but Rav Huttner turned to his Talmidim and he said, but on this day of Purim, all of a sudden, in addition to the Chovas HaLevavos, in addition to that, says Rav Huttner, it becomes a Chova shel bepoel mamish. It becomes not just something that we have to meditate upon or to feel as an abstract idea, but as he writes here in the third line, it becomes a Chova shel bepoel mamish. It becomes a Chiyuv that has to be what? Poel? Acted. It has to be acted upon. Right? It has to be tangible. It has to be something that you do. It becomes something that you could touch and feel. It becomes real. It becomes a poel. It becomes an activity. It becomes an action. An actionable feeling. How do we do that? First of all, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu. It's an interesting thing. Interesting mitzvah, no? To bring my friend a gift. To bring my friend a gift. I actually saw in a little kuntres the other day, someone was raising the question. We know it says, the pasuk says, Sone matanos yechya. A person who despises gifts will live. Question what that means, what that pasuk means. Right? But there's a notion of, I don't always want to receive gifts. It's an idea. So a person who's sone matanos, a person who's not looking for the free handout, a person who's not looking for the gift, yechya, somehow that enhances your life. And yet here, dafka, right? Dafki here, there's a chiyuv, derabanan, to send a gift. Shloch manos, each leyao. Interesting thing. Mashalo matzinu dugmaso b'shar chiyuvei zmanim. We don't find such a thing. We have to send a gift. I can't just tell my friend I love him. I have to send him a package. It's very interesting. Just stop and think about that for a second. It's very interesting. Interesting mitzvah. Mishloch manos, ish leyao. Right? Not just enough that it should be a feeling in my mind or in my heart. I have to act upon it. Bira Inyan says Rav Huttner, what's the pshat? The Bishabis Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, famous discussion with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and some of the other Gedolei HaTanaim, where they were discussing what's going to be with Torah. Is Torah going to last? Now, it sounds like an impossible discussion. Really, the rabbis were debating whether or not Torah is going to last. And there were some rabbis who said that Torah is going to be forgotten. It's going to be lost. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got up at that moment. Let's read inside. Gemara Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches, Isa Braisa, the Braisa teaches. The Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, got up and he declared, Chas v'shalom, shetishtachach Torah miYisrael. God forbid to think that the Torah will ever be forgotten from the Jewish people. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Pasuk towards the end of Chumash Devarim, Ki lo si shachach mipi zaro, it will never be forgotten from the mouths of his descendants. Torah's forever. Purim's forever. Torah's forever. Shem's forever, obviously. Klal Yisrael's forever. Right, we're talking about that. Netzach. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who gets up and says, Ki lo si shachach mipi zaro. We'll just point out what Rabbi Nachman, of course, famously points out in the introduction to Likutei Moharan, that if you look at the words, ki lo si shachach mi pi zara, what do the sofei tevos spell out? Anyone know this one? Yochai. You see? Ki lo si shachach mi pi zara, the final letters spell out Yochai. So in other words, Rishon Bar Yochai actually found himself in this pasuk. As he got up and he declared, the Torah will not be forgotten from the mouth of his descendant. Who? The one in the pasuk, Yochai. Who's the descendant of Yochai? Who's the child of Yochai? Shimon Bar Yochai. And that's a big log ba'omer in it. Rishon Bar Yochai took achrayas to reveal Torah in such a deep way that it can never be forgotten. Again, if a person has a superficial relationship with something, so it doesn't make such a rosham upon a person. When Rashbi comes and reveals Pnimiyas HaTorah, the secrets of Torah, when Rashbi gives you a glimpse of what Torah really is, it's like, whoa, I can't forget that. That's important. I just thought Torah was just another book on the shelf so I could forget it. We've read a lot of books that we've forgotten over the course of our lifetime. But when Rishon Bar Yochai reveals the depths of Torah, that makes the experience so deep that it can never be forgotten. Okay? So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, Elama ani makayim levakesh es dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzo'u. So if you're telling me that the Torah is not going to be forgotten, Rashbi, says the Gemara, so what do we do with the pasuk that says, levakesh es dvar Hashem v'lo yimtzo'u? That's a pasuk in Amos, in the Navi Amos. The Navi says, people are going to search for the Dvar Hashem and they will not find it. Right? That's right next to the pasuk that days are coming. Hinei yamim ba'im. People are going to be hungry and thirsty, not hungry for food, not thirsty for drink, but what? Starving for what? For the Dvar Hashem. Thirsting, hungry for godliness. So Amos says, what does it mean? People are going to be searching and they're not going to be able to find. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you claim Torah is not going to be lost, but the days are coming when people are going to be searching and they're not going to be able to find it. Answers the Gemara, Shalo yimtza halacha brura u'mishna brura b'makom echad. You won't be able to find halacha brura and mishna brura b'makom echad. In other words, Torah is going to be in a state of pizor, scattered. There's going to be a lack of clarity in Torah. We're going to have the pieces, but we're not going to be so clear on how to connect the pieces. That's a diminishing of Torah. Right? One of Rav Shechter's Sfarim is called Ginas HaEgos. He talks about in the introduction there how the Torah is really what? The Torah is really how every piece of Torah is connected to every other piece of Torah. Right? It's like a pile of egozim. If you were to remove one nut from this pile of egos, and you move on, the whole thing shifts. In other words, so every piece of Torah is connected to every other piece of Torah. So days are coming, unfortunately, where we're going to search for the Dvar Hashem. We're not going to find it because we're not going to have Halacha Brura and Mishnah Brura in one place. I always laugh when I see this line because, of course, there's a Sefer called Mishnah Brura. There's a Sefer called Halacha Brura. And sometimes they're next to each other on the shelf. That even might be in our base measure. So Halacha Brura, Mishnah Brura, but Makom Echad, you know? Namish neighbors on the shelf. Okay, so maybe that's a sign we're getting close to Mashiach. Right, but be it as it may, that's the pshat. The Torah is going to be scattered. The Torah is not going to be clear. There's going to be a diminishing of Torah. Explains the Maharal of Prague, a very deep thing. Uva al zehabiyor mima'ur einenu ha-maharal. Rav Huttner always builds on the Maharal. Always quotes the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal wrote a sefer called Tiferes Yisrael. That's where this is from. In Perek Nun Vav. Maharal says a very deep thing. I love this Torah. Maharal says, in Tiferes Yisrael, he says, Ki mishum sha-Torah hi tzuras Yisrael. Since the Torah is the tzura, is the what? The shape, the form of the Jewish people. In many ways, the Torah is the blueprint of us. The same way the Torah is the blueprint of the world, but that also means that the Torah is the blueprint of each and every one of us, since every one of us is a miniature world. So since the Torah is tzuras Yisrael, therefore, mikevan shebegalus Yisrael he mefuzarim umefuradim bein ha'amim. So therefore, when the Jewish people are scattered all over the place, as unfortunately we are today, and of course that's part of the mission of Galus, al yidei gzeras Hashem yisparach, shelo yeh b'makom echad. It's an unfortunate reality. There's also a meaning to it. It's a gezeirah in the sense that it's a harsh decree. It's also a purposeful command of the king that we're all in different places trying to gather the fallen sparks to bring the geula. But the reality is that Am Yisrael is mifuzar mifurad. You have Jews in New York, you have Jews in Los Angeles, you have Jews in Monroe, you have Jews in Phoenix, you have Jews in France, you have Jews in Yerushalayim, Eir Kodesh, you have Jews in Bnei Brak, you have Jews all over the place. You don't have everyone in one spot. Now you'll say, did we ever have everyone in one spot? We did once upon a time. It's called Kabbalah Sator. We'll get to it in a minute. But just like the Jewish people are all over the place, it's a very deep idea. Listen to this Maharal. Kach surasam shehi haTorah lo timtza b'makom echad ela mifuzar u'mifurad. Says the Maharal, whatever Klal Yisrael are going through is what the Torah is going through, and vice versa. In other words, when we're all over the place, the Torah is all over the place. When Klal Yisrael is scattered, the Torah becomes scattered. It's an interesting thing. It's one of the most frustrating things about learning Gemara. Like, why couldn't you put all the relevant pieces to this sugya next to each other? Why do I have to go to this? Tosfos says, look in Menachos, look in Bava Basra, look in, I'm just trying to learn Brachos. Why send them out? Why couldn't you put all those Gemaras together? Organize it like the Rambam. The answer is that it's somehow the Torah, Talmud Bavli, right? The Torah Shebaal Peh of exile, of Bavel, right, is Mabulbal, Bavli. It's a bilbo. It's all over the place. Right? Guess what? So are we. Klal Yisrael is also all over the place. So the Maharal says a very deep thing. Since the Torah, in many ways, is the blueprint of Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael is the embodiment of Torah, so whenever one of them is scattered, the other one also becomes scattered. So what does that mean? Well, it tells us something very deep about the one time that we stood together and got the Torah at Har Sinai. Ulefi divrei ha-Maharal halalu. So based on these words of the Maharal, Aleinu litfos divrei chazal. Now we can really grasp. Litfos means to grasp. Now we can really chap. However, now we can really chap the words of chazal. Namely what? That when Bnei Yisrael were camped out, Shechanayas Yisrael etzel har Sinai, haysu b'leiv echad ki ish echad. Now we understand the pasuk in Shemos Perek Yotes. Vayichan sham Yisrael keneged ahar. Nu? We were camped out at the mountain. Yeah? Vayichan in the singular. And he camped. Who's he? Rashi says, ki ish echad, b'leiv echad. I have no idea why he wrote it here, b'leiv echad ki ish echad. But Rashi's lashon is, ki ish echad b'leiv echad. I could maybe make a suggestion, but fine. You should just know, the way Rashi writes it is, ki ish echad b'leiv echad, and that's actually important. I'll tell you why that's important in 1 second. Oh, you have it? Oh, that's funny, because you're using a different... My Pachad Yitzchak is an older edition. That's so funny. That's interesting. That's so interesting. Mine says, b'leiv echad ki ish echad. Okay, so they touched it up. Your Tzura Sadaf is not exactly the same as mine. So if I say like we're on the 8th line or we're not, it's just because we're using a different edition. So I'm trying to be in both at the same time. Okay, I'm using mine. Oh, interesting. Okay, very interesting. All right, so I'll tell you why that's so interesting. It's so interesting because Rav Hutner himself has a Torah by Pesach. Rav Hutner says that when the Egyptians chased us out of Mitzrayim, Rashi says about the Egyptians, as they were of one mind chasing after Klal Yisrael, Rashi writes regarding the Egyptians, unified in their chase, hunting down Klal Yisrael. It says over there that the Egyptians were what? They were b'leiv echad ki ish echad. And Rav Hutner says that's not a mistake. Why is it by B'nai Yisrael we say ki ish echad b'leiv echad? And why is it by the Umas Ha'olam, by Mitzrayim, we say b'leiv echad ki ish echad? You hear it? It's reversed. Again, get it in your head. By a yid, it's ish echad before lev echad. By our enemies, it's lev echad before ish echad. Why? Rav Hutner in his writings on Pesach says, I'll tell you why, it's pashut. Chaim, if I were to ask you, what's the difference between two Jews walking down the street? Right? Two Jews who don't even know each other. They just happen to be walking side by side down the street. Right? And two Christians walking down the street next to each other. What's fundamentally different about those two Jews? And let's imagine those two Christians, right, are really good friends. They're really connected to each other. And these two Jews don't even know each other's name. What makes our people, our religion, Yashno Am Echad, like Haman says, he's Megala, the secret of the Am Echad, the people of utter oneness, what makes us different, yeah?
I think the fact that you're actually literally a brother with them, your soul comes from the same place. Lachon,
Mishpacha. Mishpacha. We're all Mishpacha. That's unique about our religion. We're not rallying around a set of values. It's not that someone came up with a set of values and said, who likes my ideas? And people joined that religion. That's not Klal Yisrael. We go back to a family. The family of Yaakov in Mitzrayim. The family of Avram and Yitzchak. Sar, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. We're a family. Every Jew, every part, it's an amazing thing. Muslims are not a family. There was ideas that were developed and shared, and people rallied around those ideas if they liked those ideas. Christians are not a family. Klal Yisrael is a family. That's an amazing thing. So says Rashi, at Har Sinai vayichan sham Yisrael neged har, ki ish echad before lev echad. What does it mean, lev echad? Lev echad means of what? Lev echad means what? Lev echad means of one mind, right? One set of values. Lev, again, lev in the Torah, even though we would translate lev as heart, it also means mind. If you buy an English copy of the classic Jewish philosophical Rechovos HaLevavos, it'll probably say duties of the heart on the cover. Even though when you read it, you'll say it's more about the mind. It's more about what you're supposed to think as a Jew than what you're supposed to feel as a Jew. So that relationship between heart and mind, I keep using them interchangeably. But again, lev echad means we share values. Ish echad means we're essentially one person. You hear? So when the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, says Rav Putner, what is Rashi, right? What? It's what? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. We're essentially one people. And then we were given a set of values that we share. By the Egyptians, they're not a family. What makes them, in quotes, ish echad? It's only when it's first lev echad. Lev echad, when we all agree to want to chase after Klal Yisrael and drag them back to Mitzrayim, then we act as ish echad. We act of one people, of one person. But it's only because initially we're lev echad, we're of one mind. We're of one singular goal. You hear the difference? By the Jews, again, we're fundamentally one before our values. Which is why a really frum Jew and a Jew who doesn't practice anything are closer together than, I don't know, than two cardinals in the church who like share everything together. There's a fundamental oneness. What's wrong with taking revenge? Why does the Torah say, lo sikom velo sitor? Don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge. What's wrong with taking revenge? I like revenge. I think revenge is cool. I think revenge makes sense. I like revenge. So you wrong me, I'll wrong you. You mess with me, I'll mess with you. What's wrong with revenge? I think revenge is very... Mita sadin, mita keneged mita. I think revenge is good. Okay, you could say it like that. That sounds more like the Sefer Chinuch, yeah? I'll tell you what's wrong with revenge. It's very stupid. Revenge is stupid. You know why it's stupid? The Talmud Yerushalmi in the Dharm gives a mashal. The Talmud Yerushalmi in the Dharm gives a mashal. Imagine you're holding a knife in your hand and you're cutting a chicken cutlet. And all of a sudden the knife in your right hand slips and cuts your left finger. So imagine the left hand says, hey, why'd you do that to me? Right? We're neighbors. Right? So he grabs the knife out of the right hand. The left hand grabs the knife and cuts the right hand back. Right? So you understand that's absurd. You're cutting yourself. You're harming yourself. The right hand and the left hand, they're not just neighbors. They don't just happen to live next to each other. They're one. It's me. This is me and this is me. They have an appearance of separate existence. It doesn't look like they're the same. Right? They're not exactly the same thing. Right? But be'etzem, they are the same thing. My left hand and my right hand are the same. It's part of one system. It's part of one person. So how foolish, how silly, how ridiculous it would be to what? For my left hand to punish my right hand because my right hand hurt my left hand. What the Talmud Yerushalmi gives as a mashal for why the Torah says don't take revenge, because you're fighting against yourself. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. I want to tell you actually what Haman said about Klal Yisrael, and then we'll pause for some questions and comments. Haman says about Klal Yisrael, Haman knows the secret. Haman's actually, Haman's biggest fear, this is, everything in the Megillah is a joke. Hashem has a great sense of humor. Everything in the Megillah is a big joke. What's the joke of the Megillah? There's a lot of jokes in the Megillah. One of the big jokes in the Megillah is, again, watching Haman and Achashverosh try to control the situation, and the more they try to control it, the more it backfires. So, for example, Haman knows our secret weapon. Chavre, you know what our secret weapon is? It's called Achdus. That's our secret weapon. I'll tell you a great little maisa that I heard from Rav Yossi Zakatinsky the other day. Shlita. Rabbi Yossi said there was a chassid who came to the Slano Rebbe right before Kol Nidre. Right before Kol Nidre, he came to the Slano Rebbe. It was like not a great time to show up, you know? The Rebbe's like sitting in his study, like making last minute hachanas right before Yom Kippur, Yom HaKadosh. Yeah. And all of a sudden there's like a knock on the door. And he opens the door and this chassid comes in and he just breaks down. He's crying and he says, Rebbe, I can't do it. I can't go to Kol Nidre. I don't think I can do it. I can't do Yom Kippur this year. I don't know if it was a particular aveira that he did or it was just the overwhelming responsibility of standing before Hashem. Tshuva, it's heavy. He's like, I just can't do it. It's not possible. I just can't do it. He's crying. He's like breaks, like, you know, right before Kol Nidre. Pretty intense. So the Slonim Rebbe says to him, he says, you know what? It's really amazing that you showed up just now. It's unbelievable timing. He says, because I was sitting in my study, preparing for the Yom HaKadosh, preparing for Yom Kippur. And I was thinking to myself, how am I going to do this? How am I going to go out there? You know? To walk through that door and to walk into shul and to stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu and to pour out my heart on Yom Kippur. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I have the strength to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I was very overwhelmed by that. And then you showed up. All of a sudden, you showed up with the same feeling. So Slonim Rebbe said to him, he said, listen. He said, you know what I just learned? I learned that two individual Jews, Taka can't go to Yom Kippur. Two individual Jews don't have the strength to go to Yom Kippur. But you know what else I learned? That two Jews who go together, two Jews who have the same feeling and come together and help each other, they can do anything. They can even do the impossible. The Slonim Rebbe grabbed this guy by the arm and they walked to Kol Nidre. Galdic story. Two Jews together can do anything. However, we have to realize how impossible it was for us to win against Haman. He was so powerful. The letters were sent. He had the ring. He was incredibly manipulative. And yet, Vina Hafach, the whole thing gets overturned because of what? So last week we said because of Tefillah. That's the takeaway of the Megillah. But today we'll say a different word. One word, Achdus. Achdus. Leich kanos kol Yehudim. Here's the joke of the Megillah. Ready for the joke? The joke of the Megillah is that Haman's biggest fear is that what? That Klal Yisrael should be unified. And he's Dafka the one who what? Who brought us together. Vina hafachu. You know how Haman is referred to throughout the Megillah? He's called what? He's called the Tzorer HaYehudim. Not once. Not twice. Not three times. But four times in the Megillah. We get it. He's the bad guy. Tzorer HaYehudim means what? The oppressor, the enemy, the terrorist. Tzorer HaYehudim, the one who made our lives impossible. Tzorer HaYehudim. Four times in the Megillah, although I want to draw attention to the very last time it appears, because the last time it actually changes it a tiny bit, he's called Tzorer Kol HaYehudim. First three times he's Tzorer HaYehudim. The last time in Perek Tes, he's called Tzorer Kol HaYehudim. The greatest terrorist, the biggest threat to the entire Jewish people, Kol HaYehudim. B'chever, you know what else the word Tzorer means? You know what it means? Litzror? Tzror means to bind together. You ever see on a tombstone? Or when it was describing someone who's no longer alive, you ever see the Rashi Tevos? Tof Nun Tzadi Bez Ha? You ever see that? What does it stand for? Tehei Nishmaso Tzrura B'Tzrur HaChayim. That his soul be bound up with what? With the Tzrur HaChayim. With the bound up in the collective Nishmas Yisrael. Tzrur means to bind together. So Haman is really called the what? The Tzor HaYehudim. He's the one who brought us together. He bound us together. To the point that at the end of the Megillah, the final time, he's called Tzor Kol HaYehudim. He brought all the Jews together. Leich Kenos Kol. Right? Esther says, Leich Kenos. Gather together all the Jews. The truth is, if you actually read that pasuk by Esther, it's Leich Kenos Kol HaYehudim. Everyone stops there. Leich Kenos Es Kol HaYehudim. What's the next two words? In Shushan Abira. They didn't have WhatsApp. You couldn't send out a message to get all the Jews in the whole world. They couldn't send a Tzeres Tefillah, all Jews are fasting this Wednesday. You know, like, they couldn't do that. So at least gather everyone in the neighborhood, you know? Haman's the one who sent out the messages and got the whole Jewish people united. He was the one who saw Kol Yehudim. Esther could gather the locals, and she did a good job with that. But Haman's the one who saw Kol Yehudim. He brought the entire Jewish people together. So let's listen to Haman. And again, I know Jordan wanted to say something. Rafi wanted to say something. So just give me one more second. When Haman first tries to slander us, you could see he knows the MS. What does he say about Klal Yisrael? Yeshno am echad mifuzar mifurad. How do you translate yeshno am echad? So, a loose translation is there is this one nation, there is this people, right? But that's not the real taich. That's not the right way to read it. Yeshno am echad. What's Haman saying? Haman's saying there's this people. Like no other people who are be'etzem, in the deepest way, they're an Am Echad. They're really an Am Echad. A people of oneness. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. No one else has that claim. No two other co-religionists, right, can automatically assume that they're family. We can. Yesh no Am Echad. There's a people of utter oneness. I told you the remez. Sometimes you have to just listen to what Hashem says in the Torah. What does it say? We're going to read the Shabbos. The Torah tells us, right? Remember what Amalek did to you. And what should you do? Timcha, Zecher Amalek, Mitachas HaShemayim. Remember? I said, just read it literally. Just do what Hashem told you to do. Timcha, Zecher Amalek. So what happens when you're Timcha, when you erase or subtract Zecher from Amalek in Gematria? Remember? We had it on the board last week or 2 weeks ago. How much is Amalek? 240. How much is Zecher? Zion Chaf Resh. 227. What happens when you erase Timcha as Zecher Amalek? When you erase Zecher from Amalek, 240 minus 227, you're left with 13, which is Gematria. Which 13 is Gematria? No, that's 26. 13 is Gematria. Echad. Echad. You're back to Echad. When you get the Amalek is the part in your mind that says, I don't like this guy. You're half of him. Yeah, halfway there. Amalek is the part of us that says, I don't know this guy. This guy's not, he's not my chevra. He's not my chevra. Right? Or, I don't know, it's some, you know, I like learning chassidus, but when like, I see some chassidus guy shopping around and he's speaking Yiddish and I only speak English, I'm like, I have no sheikhs to this guy. That's called Amalek. You're feeling disconnected from that Jew who's not exactly like you. That's called Amalek. When you're Timcha Zecher Amalek, when you erase from your brain and your heart every shred of that thing called Amalek, you come back to what? To the simple truth of Echad. Yeshno Am Echad. Haman knows the secret. Haman knows the secret. Yeshno Am Echad. There's a people of oneness who declare Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the people themselves are a people of one. And they believe in one Torah. They don't believe in a New Testament. Oneness. That defines us as a people. And then Haman says, his Lashon Hara, in the next two words, Yeshno Am Echad, what are the next two words? In the Megillah, Yeshno Am Echad Mifuzar U'Mifurad. He's mocking us, you understand? Haman's ridiculing us. Haman's ridiculing us. Haman's admitting the truth. I know that Be'etzem, they're the ultimate nation of oneness. And yeah, look at them. They're Mifuzar U'Mifurad. They don't get along with each other. Haman's mocking us. If they're not ba'achdus, we can maybe destroy them. That's what he's saying to Achashverosh. If they were one, they're untouchable. Right? They can do the impossible. But if they're mifuzar, mifurad, then maybe we can get them. But just to say it, a drop stronger, because I once read in the Sefer called Bina Le'itim, which is drashos from Rav Azariah Figo, he says it even sharper. He says, he's really mocking us. You know what mifuzar, mifurad means? What does mifuzar mean? We're scattered. So let's go back to that image, right? You have some Jews in Los Angeles, and you have some Jews in Texas, and you have some Jews in New York, and you have some Jews in Canada, and you have some Jews in Florida, and you have some Jews in Spain, and you have some Jews in, I don't know, Latin America, and you have some Jews in Australia, you have Jews all over the place. You think about the 8 billion people in the world, no matter how big your Jewish community is, you're tiny. All the more so if you're living in some place where there's like barely a minion, you know? But even if you live like, you know, there's 20 shuls in my neighborhood, and there's a lot of yeshivas, and a lot of kosher restaurants, and right, mikvos, and even if you live in that place where there's like, a lot of Yiddishkeit, tiny. Haman is saying, Mifuzar. He's mocking us. He's saying, these Jews, they're mifuzar. They're so few and far between. And yet, on top of that, they're mifurad. They're not connected to each other. Are they crazy? He's making fun of us. How could it be? How could it be? There's so few of you. There's so few of you, and you're still fighting with each other? Mifuzar, there's a little pockets of you here, and a little pocket of you here, and you can't get along?
Mifurad is what?
Mifurad, and they're still separated? You would think, since they're so outnumbered, they should at least work together. That's what the Bina Le'itim says. You would think. Haman's mocking us. And yet, it's a crazy thing. You know, like that Jewish joke of, you know, there's two guys on an island, right? And like a third guy shows up and he's talking to one of the guys. He's like, you know, he's like, oh, anyone else on this island? He's like, I don't know, there might be one other guy. He's like, there might be one other guy on the island. He's like, yeah, he davens at a different shul than me. It's like, there's two of you. You can't even daven at the same shul. There are only two Jews on the island. You can't daven at the same shul. But that's how we sometimes are, right? We're so few, and yet I'm mefurad. Like, I do my own thing. However, that's called a malik. That's called a malik. So just coming back to Rav Hutner, and then again, I'll take questions. So it says Rav Hutner, right? When was the moment when the Jewish people were mamish together? When was the one time that the Torah was all in one place? And reflective of that is the Klal Yisrael all in one place. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged har ki ish echad b'lev echad, mamish. Some even say that Hashem put the mountain over our head, kof aleim har kegigas. Maybe a more literal translation is a barrel. Kegigas means a wine barrel, a beer barrel. Why did Hashem put a barrel over us? Literally to make us, you know, there was like a yichud room. We were locked in together. Hashem wanted all of us to be together, right? Being under the same roof equals together. In Hilchos, I don't know, Tumas Meis, right? If there's a dead body in that corner and there's a coin in the opposite corner, right? They're together because they're under the same roof. It's a problem, right? So Hashem put a roof over our head at Har Sinai to say, you're not just happen to be standing next to each other. You're mamish one. You're mamish together. Okay? All right, let's pause. All right, Jordan, you had your hand up first.
Says the Torah is the blueprint for Amstra, and Amstra is what?
Torah. We're built on Torah, and the Torah is supposed to guide every part of ourselves. So when we're scattered, the Torah is scattered. Right? When the Jewish people are all over the place, so then you open up a Gemara, and you're like, whoa, this sugya is all over the place. And you're wondering why. It's a reflection of the state of Klal Yisrael in Bavel, in exile. Talmud Bavli.
Yeah, I think there was like a
Yeah, we're a miniature world, right? If the Torah is the blueprint of the world, that's what I said. If the Torah is the blueprint of the world, and every person is sort of their own miniature world, so the Torah is the blueprint of my life. So when my life is scattered, my relationship to, again, my right hand and my left hand, right? They can kind of be far apart if I stretch my hands, but they're still one. So, but when Jews don't realize that just because we're in different bodies, we start to think that we're not connected. That pura, that perversion, causes the Torah also to, you know, to kind of like tatter at the seams. Yeah, Rafi, you had your hand up next.
That was from a while ago, but are we allowed to take back the body?
I think there is such an idea. I think there is such an idea.
And then take rid of this from a guy, right?
Yeah. 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 Again, we have to figure out practically how that, you know, how that works in a modern society, right? We also don't kill a malik today. Hashem, I always say, Hashem did us a favor by hiding a malik from us. We don't really know who a malik is at this point, because that would be a very complicated mitzvah to try to fulfill, right? To eradicate a malik. Again, so instead, a malik just becomes. And again, there's good sources on this. It's not just some cute idea that a malik is the manifestation of anything that's evil. So right now, the IDF is fighting against the malik. That's called a malik. You say, why is that a malik? That's Yishmael. That's not Esav. That's not a malik. The answer is that is a malik. Right? That's the embodiment of a malik in a very real sense. But again, how we would apply that is a delicate thing. It would be a delicate thing. But again, the logic of the Talmud Yerushalmi, that my fellow Jew is me, right, doesn't only raise the question of whether or not revenge is ethical or not. It's just stupid. You're punching yourself in the face. You harm another Jew, you're harming yourself. Yeah.
I think there's also something interesting that he said about, like, Haman, it's sort of like he's complaining about us being scattered. We're like, because if we were all together, it might be easier for him to, like, just eradicate us. Like that's...
Okay, it could be, again, that could be hit in his own... You know, naivete, he doesn't realize that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen for him, as it does. That's the joke at the end, right? That he brought us together. But it could be, in a certain way, Haman's like, it's so annoying, the Jews are making it harder for me to kill them.
Yeah.
Right? But if they were all in one place...
It's had a part of me.
Yeah,
like also, I hear. It's like you would think that it would be better for us to be together, but...
Right.
Haman is saying...
It's harder to get us when we spread out, yeah.
In the Megillah, the pasuk that... When Haman first tells Ahasuerus, he said, he uses a lashon yishanu, right?
Right, yeshno.
Like it should just say yesh, but it says it's like yashan, like sleeping, like these people right. are sleeping, they don't know who they are.
Right, right. He says, right, we're asleep. Our God is asleep, sleeping at the wheel. Yeah, yeah. No, Haman, the Gemara says Haman's the greatest speaker of lashon hara of all time. The Gemara says, leika diyada lishna bisha. Kahama. No one knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. I actually thought of a pshat on Friday. Because we say in the Shoshanas Yaakov that the Jews were so excited. Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzalav Samecha, Birosam Yachad, when they saw what? Tcheles Mordechai. They saw Tcheles Mordechai. Now Mordechai wore lots of different colors. Wore lots of different royal, you know, displays. So why Dafka do we say the Jews were so happy when they saw Mordechai's Tcheles? They saw Mordechai was wearing a garment. All right, sounds like he was wearing like a garment full of tcheles. So I realized on Friday, when I was learning the parsha, that the me'il of the Kohen Gadol was what? Was kalil tcheles, was entirely made out of tcheles. The Gemara says in several places that each of the big day kahuna is mechaper for a different thing. What is the me'il mechaper for? The Gemara says the me'il is mechaper for Lashon Hara. So I was thinking maybe that's the pshat. When they saw Mordechai wearing tcheles, they saw he looked mamash like a Kohen Gadol. I know it wasn't a Kohen Gadol, but he almost looked like the Kohen Gadol. And they said, oh, and Mordechai's on top, and Haman's, right? And Haman's been defeated, right? It was a reminder that, you know what, that even the Lashon Hara of Haman, Mordechai was able to be metakin. I told you, Esther is gematria Lashon Hara, 661, because Esther is the zel umazeh. Esther doesn't talk. She's so quiet. She doesn't reveal anything about herself. So she's sort of the opposite end of the spectrum. But yeah, Haman really knew how to say really nasty things about us. But he's also revealing, again, Lashon Hara also. Lashon Hara doesn't mean it's Motzi Shemra is a lie. Lashon Hara can be true. Haman says true things about us. He's like, these Jews, they're not ba'achtus. And you know what? We're like, you know what? He's right. We need to be ba'achtus. Leich Chenos is Kol Yehuda. So we're Kol Yehuda. He brought us together. It's really, it's a strange, strange truth. Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that like nothing binds us more than this threat to our existence and maybe this huge big war before the final.
Right. Which is exactly why we're learning this piece. Because this idea rings so true, this part. No? There's so much fighting in Eretz Yisrael prior to Lo Aleinu, this horrific Simchas Torah attack. And there was such a response of achdus, right? And it's sad. It's a sad truth that sometimes it takes a Haman, it takes an Amalek, to get Jews to like each other, to even look in each other's direction. But Purim, which is the day that celebrates the victory over Amalek, helps us hopefully to try to lock in that feeling. Okay, so let's finish the piece. All right, you wanted to say something?
Do you remember what Masechta or words? I think it's Thomas. It talks about like Hashem scattered the Jews to the four corners of the earth. Does that have anything to do with like? Time zones and meant to be in terms of there's always supposed to be people
for sure. Torah,
so by scattering people around
for sure there's an idea like that. Yeah, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh has an idea like that being in different time zones, you know, is there's an intentionality to that. There's like a purpose to that, right? And there's different types of avoda that have to take place in different places. When we left Mitzrayim, we were told three places in the Torah you never go back to Mitzrayim. We finished the task over there. We did what we were supposed to. We did the avoda over there. Right? The fact that we're still in Washington Heights possibly means that there's still more work to be done here. When the work is done, we'll get out of Washington Heights. I'll advise soon and go back to Eretz Yisrael. But there is a voda to be done in the Arba Kanfos Haaretz, right? Before Hashem is Mekabetz you know, Klal Yisrael from the Arba Kanfos Haaretz, from the four corners of the earth. There is definitely an avoda in that. Okay? All right, so Chavis, let's go back inside. So again, so by Har Sinai, it was Ki Yishachad B'Lev Echad. Right? What does that mean, it was Ki Yishachad B'Lev Echad, about halfway down the page, where it says, Vayichan Yisrael in parentheses, Lo Bitur Teyur Ma'alasam Shel Yisrael B'Shas Matan Torah. It's not simply saying that, wow, Klal Yisrael, it's not merely descriptive of the Madrega, of the Maila of Klal Yisrael at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. El Shadarga Zo Shel Vayichan Kshura Hi B'Matan Torah Kishal Heves B'Gacheles. But rather, this oneness of the word Vayichan, the Ishachad V'Levachad of Har Sinai, it's not just, wow, it's really nice that the Jews got together for Kabbalah Satorah. No, it has to be that way, says Rafut there. It's not merely a Maila. Wow, that was a beautiful... That's what Kabbalah Satorah is. The only way to receive the singularity of the Torah is for the Klal Yisrael to come together. Again, his mashal, he says, Kishal Heves Bigacheles. Like what? Like a flame and a coal. Right? Like the heat emanating out of the coal. Like the fire that's emerging from the wick. They're attached to each other. Not two separate entities, right? Ah, you could say, but I see the wick and I see the flame, right? I see my left toe and I see my right ear, but it's one and the same. It's one entity. So for the Torah to be received the way it was meant to be received, as that, again, singular mission for the world, it had to be the Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just, wow, it worked out nicely that everyone was very friendly at Har Sinai. No, it's essential for Har Sinai. It's essential for Kabbalah Satorah. The Mikave and Shah Torah Hitsu Rasan Shal Yisrael. That since the Torah again is the form, the shape of Klal Yisrael, and vice versa, so to speak. Uvishas Matan Torah Hare Kola Torah Haisa Mukhunases Bimakom Echad. At the time they got the Torah itself was gathered to one place. It was Hashem with, again, a singular, a oneness giving us the Torah. So it had to be Kamo Kain, Gam Levavam Shal Yisrael. We had to be all together at Har Sinai in one place. For the singular Torah to be given over in its entirety, we needed Klal Yisrael entirely united. The Inyan Zesh of Vayichan Yisrael Miskayim Hu Gam Lidoros B'chol Shana V'Shana B'Zman Matan Torah Seinu Al Yedei Chovas Asifas Kol Yisrael L'Re'iyas Panim. The truth is, the Rebbe says something interesting, says Rav Hutner, he says, the truth is, every year we commemorate this. Every year when we accept the Torah, we commemorate this. When do we do that? B'chol shana v'shana b'zman matan Torah seinu, what we call Shavuos. We commemorate this. How? Through the obligation of gathering all the Jewish people, l'ri'iyas panim. However, Maseches Chagiga begins with the obligation of what? Of coming Aliyah L'Regel and bringing a karban to Beis HaMikdash, called the Olas Re'iyah. Re'iyas Panim, showing your face in Beis HaMikdash. So every Shavuos, we all get together. It happens to be we get together also on Pesach and Sukkot. Right? But a little bit, we get together on the Moed. Right? And it's at that time, HaKosav Asan Kulan Chaverim. And the Gemara, he's quoting the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chavav, where at that time, the entire Jewish people are what? Chaverim kol Yisrael v'nomar amen. Chaverim doesn't just mean that we're friends. Chaverim is a halachic concept. A chaver is a person who can be trusted to uphold higher standards of halacha. A chaver is a person, if he gives me produce, I can trust that he separated trumos and maestros properly. As opposed to an am ha'aretz, who's a person I don't trust. So there's an idea that on the moed, when the Jews gather in Yerushalayim, there's like every Jew is uplifted, every Jew is looking out for each other, every Jew is practicing, you know, every Jew is showing up like a frum Jew. And Chaverim Kol Yisrael. There's some bond that we can trust. This Jew is, I don't know, do I eat by him? Can I trust his kashrus? Can I eat at his house? Is his standard up to my standard? There's something about the gathering of Klal Yisrael on the Shlosh Regalim where everyone is considered a chaver. Yeah. Chagiga Chavav. Chagiga Chavav. Now you can see it. He quotes it at the beginning of the line. B'chagiga Chavav. D'b'moed ha'kosav asan kulan chaver. Okay? But now, chaver, let's get to the punchline. 5 more minutes. V'chol ma'ashenim sa'b'kabalat sa'torah dar Sinai. Whatever is true about the original acceptance of Torah Har Sinai, everybody here knows that what? That Purim is what? No? Kimu v'kiblu, which means we re-accepted the Torah. However, we re-accepted the Torah on Purim. Nimtza gam kein begmar kabbalas haTorah de Purim. What was true at Har Sinai has to be even more true on Purim. You hear? Because the original Kabbalah Satorah, we were a little bit coerced into it. The real Kabbalah Satorah, of loving Torah, of really internalizing Torah, was when? On Purim. And therefore, says Rav Adner so beautifully, Ukeshem, the Kabbalah Satorah de Sinai, yesh lo darga shel vayichan Yisrael. Just like the original Kabbalah Satorah required, it didn't just happen to coincide. It required a unified Klal Yisrael. Kemo kein gemar hakabbalah de Purim, yesh lo darga zu al yedei v'kibel hayehudim hanemar bo. The same thing had to be true, that what? That when the Jews re-accepted the Torah, we also had to be entirely unified. Even more so than maybe the original Kabbalah Satorah of Har Sinai. And therefore, says Rav Hundner, V'kibel ha-Yehudim de Purim, hu hemshech yashar min vayichan de Har Sinai. What a beautiful line. What a beautiful line. Six lines from the bottom. That the kibel ha-Yehudim of Purim is a direct continuation of the vayichan sham Yisrael of Har Sinai. Mamish ki ish echad b'lev echad. And I'll point out something that some svarim point out. I first saw this idea in a sefer called Birchas Yitzchak. Rabbi Menachem Gnack Shlita. Rabbi Gnack Shlita pointed this out, but I subsequently saw it somewhere else. I don't remember where. That if you actually look in the Megillah, right, the phrase that Mendy just quoted, which is what? Kimu v'kiblu. Anyone know what's funny about that phrase? If you look in the Megillah, it has to be something you could only identify if you looked in the Megillah. Something you could see. That what? It's written, it's a Kriya Ksiv. It's actually written in the Megillah, Kimu v'kibel hayehudim. We pronounce it Kimu v'kiblu. Right? All of you think Kimu v'kiblu. Everyone knows that phrase in the Megillah. Kimu v'kiblu. There is no such phrase in the Megillah. It's actually written Kimu v'kibel in the singular. Why? Pasha. Because it's a mamish, a continuation of the Vayichan Shem Yisrael, Neged Ahar. Right? So yes, on a certain revealed level, it's v'kiblu. They received and re-accepted the Torah. But on a certain level, the Megillah is winking to us and says, but there was a v'kibel in the singular. It has to be a v'kibel. It's always with the unified Klal Yisrael that we come to a truer acceptance of Torah. So it concludes Rav Hutner. However, we come to the end. Hel mikevan shenizbar d'mamatan Torah. Hamiskayim l'doras inin havayichan hu ha'idei asifas kol Yisrael l'ri'iyas panim. Says Rav Hutner, how do we commemorate each year the original acceptance of Torah? So we have a Yom Tov called Shavuos. We come to Beis HaMikdash and we get together. That's how we commemorate Kabbalah Satorah from a Har Sinai perspective on a yearly basis. We have a Yom Tov called Shavuos. But im kein bepurim, de'ein bo aliyah l'regel. But Purim, how do we get together? There's no aliyah. We don't come to Beis HaMikdash on Purim. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot we come to Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, yechsar ledoros kiyam dargazo shel v'kibel. We're missing. There's a chisaron in that madrega, in that feeling of v'kibel, because we don't have that Beis HaMikdash gathering to unify us. Lachein ba bikan chova bepoel shel avas reyim. So we need to do something to pull it together. And he says that's why we have this unique, what? Outward expression of avas Yisrael. On Purim, to show my love for my fellow Jew, not just a feeling in my heart. The same way that I have to travel to Beis HaMikdash all together with Klal Yisrael on Shavuos, I have to do something even more on Purim. It's not just showing up and standing together in front of Hashem once again. That's Har Sinai. Purim, I have to what? I have to show my fellow Jew, I love you. And Namish love you. B'chdei la'afoch esakimu v'kiblu l'v'kibel. Rav Hutner's hinting to this vart from Rabbi Gnack, right? To show that the kimu v'kiblu is really a v'kibel in the singular, which is actually how it's written in the Megillah, which is amazing. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. V'adayin ein zeh maspik. But Rav Hutner concludes, he says, but I have to tell you a tiny bit more. Chevra, turn to the back side of the page. Rav Hutner says, because what does it mean to really love a fellow Jew? There's two ways to love a fellow Jew. Look at this. This is so sweet. Ligrom, number one, you can number them. Number one, ligrom hana v'koras ruach l'chavero. To benefit a fellow Jew. If I love you, I care about you. I want good things for you. I want success. I want to help you out. If I have a company and you're looking for a job, I want to hire you because you're my fellow Jew. It happens to be a non-relative also applied for the job, right? And he's maybe even a little more qualified. But come on, I got to hire my mishpacha. I got to take care of my family. This is my family. Right? So I want to cause hana and a koras ruach lechaver. I want to bring good. I want to bring good things to a fellow Jew. If I see you walking or carrying a heavy object and you're struggling, I want to help you. Right? If I have something that you don't have, I want to share it with you. I want to ligrom to cause hana to my friend. But then there's something else. Number two, he says, Vigam etzem ha'eskarvus hanafshis v'ishtatvus beruach im chavero. I want to what? I want to bind my soul to your soul. I don't want to just be able to what? On the external level, I have something that you don't have, so I share it with you. But I want what? Like it says by Yaakov and Yosef, nafsho kshura benafsho. Mamish, to bind our souls together. Because the truth is, that's really where we are one, more so than the ability to share some experience on the outside, to share an object together, you know, to link our bodies in some way by having a shared experience. It's the level of soulful connection that's the ikar. Im kein, so says Rav Hutner, conclusion, so when I bring you a potato kugel or salami or a bottle of wine or some humintashen and I say Freilich and Purim, right? And I give you Mishloach Manos, there's no question I not only have a feeling of loving my fellow Jew, which is the general Vahafta L'Recha Kamocha that we're supposed to have all the time, but now I've shown it in action. I've shown it in action, which is going a step deeper. I've been gorem hana. I brought you something you enjoy, something for you to enjoy. That's, again, level one of Purim. But how do I get to the level, again, not the general v'haft l'vech kamocha that we're supposed to feel right now. How do I get to that deep nafsho kshura b'nafsho on Purim? And here's where Rav Hutner, the Rebbe, is sitting by the tish, and you can picture his talmidim, you know, a shtikel ad lo yada around the table. Says Rav Hutner in the last couple of lines, Avalakati ma nasim b'china hashniya shel av Yisrael. But how do you get to the second level? How do you get to the level where what? Where there's no me and there's no you, there's just echad. How do I get to that level? I can't get to that by giving you an apple and a chocolate bar. I can't do that with Mishloach Manos. That's level one of showing you that I love you. But how do I get to the level of nafsho kshur b'nafsho? How do I get to that? Says Rav Hutner, Vatshuva al zehi. The answer is Gedoyla legima shemekareves es halavavos. What the Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Gimel is that what? Great is legima, that it brings the hearts together. What's legima? What's legima? Drinking together, for bringing together, making a lechaim with the fellow yid. Great is what? Legima. Legima means eating together, drinking together, for bringing together. And that's why there's the second level on Purim of what? Of the Suda. Right? The Suda, even more so than the Mishloach Manos, again, the Yayin, the Adlo Yada, like we learned again in that piece from B'yam Darkecha, right? That a proper Adlo Yada allows me to dissolve, as Rabbi Israel likes to call it, right? To dissolve into godliness. But I'm also, through that dissolving, right? There's no longer two separate things. There's not a Jake and an Isaac as two separate entities who happen to like each other and happen to also be cousins because they're, right? Because they're Klal Yisrael, they're Mishpacha, they're family. I sat at a wedding with Bari last night. We were schmoozing about it.
Yeah.
There's Mishpacha, right? We're all Mishpacha. That's one level, right? And maybe to bring him Mishloach Manos that says, I really like you. That's another level, right? But then when a Jew sits by a Purim Tish, by a Suda, have a glass of wine. Gedola legima, so great is Jews, what? Is Jews sitting around the table together, eating and drinking together, that it's not only mekarev of the bodies, but mekarevus as halavavos. It mamish brings the hearts together. And again, I like the picture of putting there at the end of, you know, at the end of a Purim, saying over this mimer, right, with the chevra around the table. It's such a beautiful image. And again, that's the v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha that we're trying to get to on Purim. It's not the regular v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. It requires more of us on the outside and even more of us on the inside. Yeah.
So when we had that
beautiful
Torah, I think you're in there. I went to Rav Dan's shir.
Yeah.
And he had like a very interesting shir about Hasidut and how it's programmed into every Jewish person's brain that like you want to look out for our own. And
that should be the natural state. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he brought a Rambam that said, like the Victoria Barker, like the people that are anti our values. You like should check their lineage for something.
Right. I know there's a Gemara in Yevamos. That's probably the quote. There's a Gemara in Yevamos that says there's three traits that are natural by Jews. What are they? Rachmanim, we're merciful. Baishanim, we have busha. Right. There's a bashfulness. We won't do anything. Right. There's some people like I do anything. Like we do certain things that. But we don't. Something like I don't do that, right? There's a natural busha, and then gomlei chasadim, a natural netia towards chesed of looking out for someone else. And the Rambam paskins based on that Gemara in Yevamos that if you meet a Jew who doesn't have the quality of being a merciful person, or being a bashful person, or being a person of chesed, so the Rambam says you should check their lineage. Maybe they're not an authentic Jew because it's so much a part of. Just being a Jew, that it's woven into the fabric of every Jewish soul. There's no such thing as a Jew who's not a merciful person. Right. It's very much the... But again, that oneness, Yeshno Am Echad, Haman literally knows it. He says it. He's so scared. He's Megala, the secret. The secret weapon of Klal Yisrael is to be an Am Echad. Timcha is a race, Zecher from Amalek, and you're back to Echad. That's what we're trying to do. Leichanos is Kol Yehudim. Esther says, I'll end with this. Esther says, Tzumu Alai, you fast for me, the gam aniv and arosai atzum came, and I and my maidservants will do the same. So what's the pshat? She'll tell me. Esther saying, you fast and we'll also fast. It's not the pshat. It's not the pshat. The deeper pshat is you fast tzumu alai, fast upon me. Esther says, you want me to go to Achashverosh? That's crazy. That's incredibly dangerous. It's impossible. But I'll do it as long as I know what. As long as I know what. Klal Yisrael's got my back. And then she says, and I and my maidservants will also fast. Not will also fast. Atzum Kain will fast with the same kavana, which is what? You think about me, I'll think about you. And when Jews are thinking about each other, then we can do impossible things. We can go to Achashverosh. Again, that's that mice I told you with the Slonim Rebbe. These two Jews, right? This Heilig Rebbe and this Chassid, both scared to face Yom Kippur. Two Jews as individuals can't stand before Hashem. We can't walk in before Hashem. How can I go to the king? Right? Shresh is just a mashal. How can I stand before Melech Malchim Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But you know what? When two Jews go together, then we can do impossible things. Okay? So we should be zocha to halavai. We should feel as much of this love as we can every day. To look out for each other, to think about each other, to be goyrim hana to each other. Right? But on Purim, it has to be a different madrega. It's more than Har Sinai. It's more than Shavuos. Right? It has to be this ongoing kimu v'kibal ha-yehudim, which mamish goes even deeper. That's the pshat. It's a good Torah, no? Rav Hundert's Torah is very beautiful. Okay. Shkoyach.